Preach on one verse tonight. There'll be some supporting verses. We'll try to move this along, but I want to preach on Galatians chapter 6, verse 9. In Galatians chapter 6, verse 9, it says, "And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." If we faint not. Dear Lord, thank you for our church. Thank you for our local congregation. Thank you for our pastor. Lord, I respect this pulpit, and I respect the man of God you have in it, and I just pray that you give us something that we can use this week for your glory in Jesus' name. I have a very funny title for my sermon tonight, and if anybody needs to write it down to post it somewhere, it's long. It says, sometimes you have to slop through the sewage if you're going to one day sit on the beach. Sometimes you have to slop through the sewage if you're going to one day sit on the beach. And I just think about how life is about one series of challenges after the next. And rarely do you get a break without the next challenge hitting you. And it's all about dealing with those challenges. And I've definitely had my share. Everybody sitting in here has had their share of that as well. I had a very interesting couple weeks. This whole summer seems like it's been a cycle of challenges. And I know it's warm out there right now. And, you know, I kind of have a tolerance of if it's below 90, I'm okay. And if it's above 25, I'm okay. Anything in between I can handle, but when it starts going beyond that, it gets tough. If I had to choose, I'd rather be above 90 than below 25, though. I just don't like being cold. I dread the winter every year. I have to work in the heat. I have to work in the cold. And I would rather work in the heat. Now, other people, their body's different. And they'd say, nope, give me the cold. That's fine, and I can understand that. But life's about a series of challenges, and rarely is it going to be 65 degrees, partially sunny, perfect weather. It happens a couple of times a year, you get that, and it's beautiful out here. But that's not our norm. We're always dealing with something uncomfortable, whether it's too hot, too cold, too rainy, too snowy, too windy. There's always one scourge after the next coming at us. But I have 3 points, and my message today is to not get stuck in paralysis because of the challenges we're dealing with. And it's easy to happen. Number one, there's 3 different ways we can get stuck in paralysis. The first way is through imperfection. Just everything we deal with in life having something that's imperfect about it. Some fly in the ointment. Some thing about it that just, it's not right. And that's part of just God's challenge for us going through life, is how to deal with that imperfection. And my wife was watching a movie with the kids the other day, and there was this little girl who had a condition, and there was this guy who was supposed to be a millionaire, maybe a billionaire, and his challenge was to do something to make that little girl's dream come true. And he had asked her, she was going to be dying soon, she had this condition, and he said, well, what would be your dream? What would be the one thing you'd want to have happen before you die? And she said, the perfect day. I want to have one perfect day. Now, that perfect day could be different for every person. But normally something goes wrong during the day. There's some challenge going to hit you. You know, pastors often said, he's quoted this, the good can be the enemy of the best. But there's also another way to say that. The perfect can be the enemy of progress or growth. Yeah, I'm a perfectionist and a completionist. I like to collect things, and I like to see the whole set of them complete. I do sports card shows on the weekends, and if I'm I also collect as well, but if there's a certain rookie class of a certain year and I'm getting their color match, and I want, it's a 2017 Prism set, and I want to get the purple colored De'Aaron Fox and the blue colored Donovan Mitchell and the green Jason Tatum, who just won an NBA championship. And I finally got the Jason Tatum. It took me 4 years, and it's an expensive card. And I put them out on my display case, and I'm there to sell cards. And somebody says, I like that Jason Tatum. How much for that? And I almost want to tell them, it's not for sale because I just finally made the set. You could look at it, but I don't want to sell it because I don't want to have imperfection in my case. I want to have the entire set of it. And sometimes we go after, but I know if I get the right offer for that card, mentally, I need to sell it. If I hang on to it, I'm going to get hurt. I'm in business, and that's important to do. Sometimes I have to mentally push past what I want to do because I want perfection. You know, I think about that little girl said the perfect day. And what I realized, the perfect day is not possible. Not while I'm alive right now. All of us have had family members that have passed on, loved ones, close ones. And whether it's a birthday, whether it's a family get-together, a holiday, my grandfather is not there, so it's not perfect. There's always that pinch, that pop-up isn't here, and I feel it. And it makes the day not perfect. It could be a wonderful day. It could be great. We had my grandmother's 80th. They were getting anniversaries and birthdays. And it was amazing. You could almost say it was perfect. But my grandfather wasn't there. And a lot of you know what I'm talking about. And the whole day could be going great, but you remember that person. You thought, oh, if they were only here to see this, it'd be so awesome. I can't watch a big Phillies game without thinking about them. When Bryce Harper hit that home run to send the Phillies to the World Series last year, I was yelling up to him. God passed the message along through the third heaven to him because the Phillies did it. We're going to World Series. My first thought was a him. And that victory wasn't perfect. And I realized that it's not going to be perfect. Not this side of heaven. One day we'll be reunited with many of our loved ones. And you know, I think about our church family. You know, there was a lot of many people through the years that I remember sitting in different parts of this church. My grandfather would sit right back there, right where Brother Elgin is, right next to him. And many of you can remember where other people sat. I remember Ralph Tolley was always right back there. Miss Wolf was halfway up, right on the side. You remember where Felix, he was always on this left side, right? Jesse's dad. And others. How many remember, I'm going back a little ways, Norman and Teddy. Are you working? You're hardly working? Are you working hard? That was always what Norman would say. Norman would sit right there, and Teddy would sit right there, and he had his finger, and Teddy would just flip through the pages of the Bible with that finger that was stuck right there. And he would... You see, I think about... What if all those people were here for one service? This church would be packed. It'd be filled. But they're not here. And you know, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15 about baptizing for the dead. And what that means is we're going to lose members of our ranks. And that pew is not to stay empty. There is to be a new church member, a new church family sitting in that. We're not just, even though we miss those people, it's not just to, well, that seat is theirs and we're going to retire that bench. We're going to retire their jersey number in the rafter. No, God wants us to move forward even through that imperfection of remembering those people and remembering when they were here. He wants us to continue to build and move forward and not to be, to have paralysis because of those losses, but to move forward and to continue to build and fill the house of God and to build our church, because there's not going to be perfect days, not this side of heaven. You know, there's no perfect church out there. Our church, it won't take long for, we just talked about these chairs that we got. And I'm sure they're not perfect. I'm hoping they're progress. I'm hoping they're better. But it won't take long for you to walk around the church somewhere and find something that's not perfect. You could tell, maybe our AC could get a little bit of a tune-up. It's not perfect. And you know what? Walk around your house or your apartment, it's not perfect either. We had that graduation here a few weeks back. And about an hour before the graduation was going to start, I walked into the men's bathroom. And as soon as I opened the door, the whole floor is wet. And then I got a little closer. I'm like, that's not water. And I knew there was lots of families coming. I knew there was people coming that normally don't come to the church. And I said, you know what? I can't let them walk through this. And I got the cleaning supplies, what we needed to do, and we cleaned it. It's an imperfect church. And I know earlier that day, we had had a big day. There was a lot of bus kids here. There was boys hanging out in the bathroom. And, you know, Cody had mentioned, he had said something. I think it was, he said, Grandma, he says, you have the stealing class. Your Sunday class is that they come down and they steal things from us. And Brother Joe, he has the cursing class. There are some boys in his class, boy, they say bad words all the time, and it makes me mad. Brother Joe has the cursing class. Grandma has the stealing class. And I'm going to find out who has the peeing class. You know what? There's no perfect Sunday school classes. And if we have a big day, there's going to be some imperfection. There's going to be some things that... I think about that one gentleman years back that said, we have a nice church family right now. We've got some good couple of families. Let's just stay right where we're at. And we think, oh, that's not the way that Jesus wants his church. He wants his house to be filled. But if you're a bus captain on a big day, or you're a children's church preacher, you're clean up on a big day, you start to think about what that guy said. Maybe he was on to something. You know, perfection is not possible. But God wants us to go through those and to continue to build. Even though you're not going to have a perfect church. We're not going to have a perfect family get together. Because there's always going to be something that God's going to leave there to challenge us. Paul was one of the greatest church builders ever. And God made sure he gave him imperfection. He made sure that he gave him that thorn in the flesh. So that he had a challenge to overcome daily. And that's the way God wants us to, he wants us to have that. Number two, don't have paralysis through imperfection, but also don't have paralysis through craziness. You know, sometimes I feel like when Job got hit with one thing after another coordinated, where while they were yet speaking, a servant comes and says, your cattle have been taken away. A servant comes and says that your oxen have been taken. And then you get a big one. He says that something happened to the kids. And while they're yet speaking, and it's like bang, 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 right at one time. Craziness hits you from a lot of different directions. And being a landlord and being a home builder and having multiple hats that I wear, a lot of times that happens to me. And the craziness of multiple things from different directions getting put on me gets me to be paralyzed. Which direction do you go? What do you do first? And you start to think about this list of things to do that's in your head. And it can be depressing. It can get you to not be productive. And, you know, I think about when you try to do something and build, the things that can happen to you. we really wanted to have a vineyard of fruit trees, or orchard, I should say, of fruit trees. It's something we always wanted. And we've been trying for several years now to have some plum trees, some cherry trees, some apricot trees, apples, pears. And we did the work. We spent the money. And the idea is one day you're going to walk outside and you're going to be able to just pick some nice juicy plums, pick some nice apricots, and come with your bushels, bringing your sheaves with you. Look at all the wonderful fruits. Anyone in the church wants some fruit? We have plenty to go around. And you, in your head, you think, that's what it's going to be like when I plant these trees. And sometimes I feel more like what Joel had to experience. In Joel chapter 1, it says, tell your children of it, and let your children tell their children, and their children another generation. That which the palmer worm hath left, the locust hath eaten. And that which the locust hath left, the canker worm hath eaten. And that which the canker worm hath left, the caterpillar hath eaten. We were hit with one thing after the next after the next. First, and it was nice because right after in February, we start to see the leaves coming out. And we start to see the branches get bigger. Like right early March, end of February. And we could tell there was growth from the previous year. I'm like, look how nice the fruit trees are doing. Look at the flowers starting to come up. That means you're getting fruit. We thought it'd be a couple of years till we started seeing fruit. And we were excited at end of February, early March. Then we got hit with the scourge of the caterpillars. The tent caterpillars that make those tents in the trees. Oh boy, they were everywhere. They're crawling on my deck. They're crawling on the side of my house. You can't walk through the yard without squishing them. They were everywhere. We tried to get them when they're in the tent, but some of them are 50 feet high in trees. You can't get those. And every day, we would walk around 5 or 10 times, peeling them off the fruit trees. And they were just wiping the leaves, peeling them off the fruit trees. And we spent a lot of time dealing with those caterpillars. Finally, my father said, which he found a way, he says, you get this wrap, he says, like caution tape, put it around the tree, get this substance called sticky foot, and put this glue on it, and they'll all get stuck or they won't even go in it. And we saved the fruit trees. And it worked. They would be just bunched up at the bottom of that. And then after that, we said, we did it. We saved the fruit trees. They're going to go and grow. We're going to be so excited. Then the deer start coming along. And a mother deer has a baby deer right in our property, right in our front yard in the woods. And they come out every day and help themselves to it. Oh, what are we going to do? We got to put the deer scent repellent on it. So we did that. Nope, they eat more branches. Then we stick these things in the ground they should be scared of. Nope, and they eat more branches. Finally, I buy an electric fence. And it seems like that had worked. All right, we saved the fruit trees from the electric fence. And then one day, a huge wind comes, and there was damage all over the area. Takes one of our fruit trees and snaps it right in half. After we finally got the scourge of the deer, it just snaps it right in half. And we still have other fruit trees doing good. And the next thing that happens, we see a groundhog. And one day, Cody comes in the house and says, there's a groundhog outside. And he was standing up like this. And he was pulling peaches off the tree. And he's grabbing all of our peaches. And we have the scourge of the groundhog. So now we're working on trying to get rid of the groundhog. And then after that, because now we're working on getting rid of that groundhog, the other day we got all that rain. I come home and the rain comes pouring down. And all of a sudden, on the left side of my property, a waterfall. Water broke through the Pride Mobility parking lot, came through the woods, and it was a waterfall into my yard right where all the fruit trees are. And I have the video of it. It was just a washout. It was like the Lackawanna River opened up, and all the nice mulch we put around and all those flowers, it just got all the sand washed into it, into the mulch beds, and it was a river going through, and we got hit with the flood. And now that water is past, and we think we're past that. I met with Pride Mobility. They're going to build a dam up there and a berm, a bank, and we're doing that. Today we go out, and beetles by the dozen all over my fruit trees. It's like one thing after the next after the next. And it almost makes you want to quit. It almost makes you like, why am I putting this work in? Why am I trying to grow this stuff? In my mind, I see me with bushels of fruit, frolicking and happy and skipping and jumping and have some of my fruit, everyone. Is it really worth it for everything I'm dealing with, trying to make these fruit trees grow? And I look in Joel later on, Joel 2:25. And it says, I will restore to you the years that the locust hath eaten, and the cankerworm, and the caterpillar, and the palmer worm, and the great army which I will set among you. And God knew Israel had to go through this so that they would turn to Him. And God gives us these challenges in life. Not to make us paralyzed, but so that we can grow through them. Knowing that in the end, He's holding the reward to give it to us in due season. And that we shall reap if we faint not. The only way I'm not getting fruit out of those trees is if I give up on them and I just say, that's it, let's not do this. Plant grass, let's have a field there. Other than that, I will get fruit. I may have to deal with these things, but there will be fruit. And one day, there will be the blessing that will come from continuing to plow the ground and work on it. Sometimes we want to, because we get hit with craziness on our bus route, problems from multiple directions like Job had, or one continuous problem after the next, every time you think you have one fixed. It happens in what we try to do for the church. We'll work on an area of the church, fix it up, get it ready, and then something will break in it. Or some bus kids will ruin it. Or something, there's always the next problem. And it'll discourage us from sometimes wanting to do more in the church. Because we see that hard work kind of falling by the wayside. And we could be paralyzed from being contributors, from growing. And God wants us to not be paralyzed. Number one, not by things being perfect, because things aren't going to be perfect. Not this side of heaven. And not be paralyzed by getting hit with a time of craziness. But knowing that these things will pass, we just have to be able to push for small increments of progress through them. And that's the same in business too. There's times when I've had so many emergencies hit me at one time, it's like, I don't know if I want to do this. I don't know if I want to be a landlord anymore. I don't know if I want to be a home builder anymore. I don't know if I want to be in construction anymore. Because I've been hit with so many things that my brain can't even fathom how I'm going to accomplish all these. But you know what? I always do. In the end, the help of my family and the help of other people I'm in business with, we get the list checked off. It may be crazy for a moment, but eventually we hit a time where it's a little bit more calm. The seas are a little bit calmer. And I can go back and I can get those things accomplished and start to grow again. The seas don't stay crazy forever. And that's why we can't be paralyzed when those seas do get choppy like that. And the last point, God doesn't want us to have paralysis through fatigue. So it was number one, through imperfection. Number two, through craziness. And number three, through fatigue. You know, thinking about that perfect day, I was looking forward to Father's Day. And this is the way Father's Day was supposed to go in my mind. This is a pretty good day. I wasn't expecting this, but it happened. Woke up to my wife and kids surrounding me with a basket of gifts. A lot of little snacks I like, some new coffee cups, and just really nice things. Happy Father's Day! And that's great. After that, it was supposed to be going to church with one of my favorite preachers, Brother Lou. And what's nice is he's preaching. I don't have to prepare the sermon for pastor and get things on the screen. There's a lot of little things that I don't have to do when there's a guest preacher. I can show up, sit down, and enjoy preaching. That's nice every now and then, right? Sometimes you only experience that when you go to a conference or something like that. But sometimes it's nice to just sit down and enjoy preaching, especially those that do a lot of the work in the church. Then I was supposed to have a big, thick, juicy Sam's Club steak on the grill. We just set up the grill earlier that week. We went to Sam's Club, New York strip steaks. Then after that, praise the Lord, a Father's Day nap. Oh, this day's going good. This day's going good. Gifts, church, steak, Father's Day nap. And then at night, Brother Lou preaching again. Same thing. Get to enjoy preaching for the night. And after that, I'm supposed to take Brother Lou for burritos at Italo's or one of his other restaurants, maybe Viewmont Mall or the Viewmont Diner. I was taking Brother Lou out for dinner. And what's cool about that is I love just talking to Brother Lou afterwards, because we talk about prophecy, or we'll talk about the New World Order, or we'll talk about Trump, or we'll talk about the Second Amendment, or we'll talk about good topics, because you could get into some deep dives with Brother Lou and when you're just with him one-on-one. And it'd be fun conversation. He likes classic cars. He likes a lot of the things I like. So I was looking forward to that. Well, that's how Father's Day was supposed to go. I woke up to my kids and my wife and gifts. That was it. 10 minutes later, I get a call from a tenant. Happy Father's Day. Our shower and tub won't stop running, and it's all in the basement. We can't stop it. We can't shut it off. That was at 7:45 in the morning I got that call. And it changed the whole day. Almost nothing on that list happened that day. I spent, between the services, up to my knees in raw sewage. My father spent up to his knees in raw sewage. And the whole sewer system was backing up into their basement. It was a mess. And we were there we have a Roto-Rooter machine. I try to not say that too loud. I tell my father, you got to sell this machine, because every friend and person that he knows all knows he has it. So when they got a problem, we get the phone call and we're playing in sewage again. And so we brought every piece of equipment we have, and in the end, we couldn't fix it. On Monday, all day on Monday, 11 hours in sewage, we couldn't fix it. Finally, we found there was a breakage out in the road. We were going to have to dig the road. And then yesterday, we're out in that road. We're jackhammering. We're digging. And the sun, there's no escape from the sun. You're in the middle of the blacktop. And you like the blacktop, you can see it wavy because it's like frying. And it was hot. You couldn't drink enough water. And we were fatigued. We were tired. Almost to the point where I don't want to do this no more. I just want to, but we can't. These people cannot use their shower, their bathroom, nothing. For 3 days, they couldn't use anything in their house. Try living in a house without being able to flush a toilet or nothing. Brother Lou was just in a place where they couldn't do that. We've gotten used to those things. Couldn't take a shower or nothing. We had to do it. Nobody else I can call. And we had to dig 8 feet down in that road. And there's a gas main, and there's a water main, and there's all these other pipes in there. You can't just dig. You've got to take it out slowly. And we spent that time down in there. And, you know, the message is sometimes you have to slop through the sewage if you're going to one day sit on the beach. See, it's nice to have something to look forward to. It's nice to know that there's something in the future that you can push through this slop now, because in the end, there's a joy set before you. in the end, there's something that you could see in your mind, like, yeah, that's going to be good. That's going to be good. All right, let's do it. Let's get through it. See, my wife had scheduled a vacation in a place that we like down in North Carolina. And it's a nice little beach house. We just like it. It's not the fanciest place, but it's perfect for us. And when my father-in-law was going through all these medical diagnoses and things were not looking very good, my wife wanted to cancel it. And Cody and Lacey talk about it all the time. The beach, I can't wait to go to the beach. And this is going to be in August. I can't wait to go to the beach. And we're going to go for 6 days down there. And my wife said, I want to be here if something, my parents need me. I want to be available. I want to be around. And I don't think, they normally come with us. We bring them down with us. And I don't think he's going to be able to go on that trip. And I said, babe, don't cancel the trip. Everybody needs something to look forward to. This has been a difficult year. And there needs to be something that at least in our mind we can say, but that's going to be fun. I'm looking forward to that. Keep that set before us so we can go through these things that were, and I says, I think your dad needs that too. And we'll pray that he's able to go. And you know, God's working things out. But the kids need that. The kids need to look forward to that. I said, let's not take that from them. And she agreed and she understood, and we kept that trip planned. And you know what? When I was slopping through that sewage, and there's no way to keep yourself clean. There's just not. You're wearing it. I'm sorry. I'm thinking, one day I'm going to be on the beach. One day I'm going to be on the beach. And when I was on that road, and I'm getting hit with that 95 degree weather and the sun and nowhere to run, I think one day I'll look forward to having the sun on me because I'm going to be on that beach. And you know what? God gives us something to look forward to. In 2 Corinthians, he says, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. That means whatever we go through right now, the rewards will be so much more, it won't even be equivalent to what we think we should earn for it. It's going to be way above we can even think that we deserve for the affliction we went through. While we look not on the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. He gives us an idea of what that day on the beach will be like. He spends a lot of time in the Bible talking about New Jerusalem. He spends a lot of time in the Bible talking about what that's going to be like. What the millennium is going to be like. That 1,000 years on the beach. And he says, everything you're going through now, when you're on that day on the beach, you'll be like, oh, it was so worth it. Oh, that was nothing compared to how wonderful this is. And he says here in chapter 5, verse 14, for the love of Christ constraineth us, that we will do something for someone we love because we love them, even if it's unpleasant. Now, that's what we have to look forward to. But Jesus had to have the same thing. Jesus was going to go through something way worse than any of this stuff I just described. And he knew he was going to have to go through it. He needed something beyond that to look forward to prep himself to go through it. Hebrews 12:2 says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. He knew what he was going to have to deal with. But it was worth, he didn't get paralyzed in fear of it. He pushed through it because of what he seen set before him. And what he seen was us saved with him in New Jerusalem. At that table, drinking that cup. That's what he seen. He kept that image in his head going to Calvary. That's what this is saying right here. It's like a soldier that keeps pictures of his family, and before that battle's going to start, he looks at that picture, goes, okay. And then he goes in the battle. That's what Jesus did. He took his picture of us out and said, oh, that day's going to be great. All right, okay, let's do this. He doesn't want us to be paralyzed. He doesn't want us to be paralyzed through things being imperfect. He doesn't want us to be paralyzed through craziness when you get hit from multiple directions at one time. And he doesn't want us to be paralyzed through fatigue of just being worn out. He wants us to continue daily to make little bits of progress and little bits of growth. Because he's putting something in front of us. He's putting that day on the beach in front of us. But we're not going to be on the beach by ourselves. We will be in that heavenly city with him who also had to do the same thing. Think about something in the future that was going to be wonderful so that we can push through things now. Amen, Brother Eric.
Heads bowed, eyes closed. We're going to have an invitation. Piano player is going to come. I wonder.